Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. John, I have had it. We did not get a drop of rain last night. We've had basically one storm. This keeps happening. A couple of weeks ago, we had a huge storm a block away. Last night, lightning all around. Nothing at the Buckmaster household. People are starting to wonder, is there something weird going on in that particular neighborhood? I don't know, but it's kind of a dry spot, to say the least. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for this Friday. It's August 21st, 2020. We are live each weekday during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice for trusted local news talk. Worldwide live listening, have all of our podcasts. Talk about an incredible archive. Since this program launched the first week of January, in that first week of January in 2011, Gabby Giffords gave her last interview before the horrible assassination attempt the Thursday of that week. That was our debut week. And all of those shows are available for you at buckmastershow.com. So quite an archive. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. It's our friend Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Shear's organization. And Dan is with us in studio, so I can personally thank him, Dan, for all of your support from day one of the launch of the program back in January of 2011.
Thank you.
Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications. They have Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Mark Napier is here this week, the Pima County Sheriff. Mark is our Friday Focus interview. Sheriff, how are you today?
I'm very well. I had the same problem at my house with rain. It sprinkled enough to make my black truck look terrible last night, and that was all. I would take a moment of personal privilege, say hello to my wife. I know my darling wife of 37 years is listening. Love you, honey. And we've got three great grandkids now.
Is this your wedding anniversary?
No, it was June. But,
well, I can't hear you.
I have to remind her that
stay in good with your lovely wife.
Yeah,
there.
She's endured 37 years of me, so that ought to be a sainthood right there.
There you go. Dan Shear with us from Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is also, he has this extra responsibility, which was handed to him, and he, of course, gladly accepted it. I think it's 2 years, Dan, or is it more now?
No, it's about 2 years, yes.
Yeah, about 2 years since the WIC Communications folks who are based down in Sierra Vista, they called Dan. I don't know if they called you. Did they call you on the phone or in person?
They pointed at me and said,
come over here. We got something to tell you. Well, WIC has 24 newspapers in the Western United States. I guess one of them technically is in the Eastern United States because it's on the other side of the Mississippi.
A little bit. Yeah, and down in Louisiana, So,
all right, pretty much Western United States, and Dan is the editorial director, and he, before COVID, he traveled all over places up in South Dakota and things, but right now he's been doing all of that Zooming with all the editors.
Absolutely, and keeping busy, and we launched our social media sites this spring amid COVID, our own. It's a Google grant, and it is called Neighbor, N-A-B-U-R, and we have it now at three of our sites, and it's our own social media site, and it's moderated by journalists, and it's going very well. We have over or nearly 1,000 people signed on in Green Valley alone who just weigh in on the issues, and the journalists talk with them, and we're doing video and the whole thing.
I wonder if your paper in South Dakota had to go over to Sturgis to cover the big motorcycle.
They covered it, but I don't think they went near it.
All right, Sheriff, this week the Pima County Board of Supervisors put out, was it a suggestion for you and your law enforcement team not to use rubber bullets?
I think that'd be best way to categorize it. We share their concern. Obviously, we don't want unintended injuries from the use of less lethal munitions, which do have a place, but we use them so very infrequently. I think my staff told me that we've used them 13 times in 10 years. So it's not something that happens all the time. And they're only used by highly trained personnel, so it's not something that the average deputy has. It has to be an extraordinary event for us to use that type of equipment, and it's very infrequent. But we do share the Board of Supervisors' concern about unintended injury from these to people that are peacefully protesting. So we acknowledge that, but we still need to have all the tools in our toolbox to deal with these things.
Has there been any talk about giving up the helicopter or any of your assets because of this defund police movement?
No, in fact, quite the opposite. We're in the process of buying two new airplanes. We've got some bond funding to do that. I worked with Mr. Huckleberry very collaboratively to bring about some money to, because our aircraft were aging and they were getting to the point where we were literally kind of just piecing them back together, and we didn't have very much operational time. So we're in the process of purchasing two new aircraft, which will provide me a very exciting opportunity to put the existing aircraft out at the Ajo Airport at least part of the time and establish an air operations public safety platform at the Ajo Airport, because that area is really underserved out there, and allow us to do air operations in the western part of the county to support the Ajo, Tonto Autumn region, and that portion of the county.
Sheriff, regarding some reform measures that you announced recently, though, and in the context of equipment purchases, you said that you're not going to participate in the 1033 program. Can you tell us what that is and why you're not going to be involved in it?
Sure, Dan. It's a 1033 program allows law enforcement agencies to procure military-like equipment, government surplus equipment, and we very seldom participate in that program anyway, because we have the equipment we essentially need. And I know it's disquieting to some in the public. Now, there is equipment through the 1033 program, such as computers, for example, that might be government surplus. And we would still want to get those non-military-like pieces of equipment through that if we could do that at no expense to the taxpayer. But this equipment that they're more concerned about are those pieces of equipment that give a paramilitary appearance to them. And we've agreed, because the public has expressed concern about that, that we won't participate.
Well, who's the public?
Well, the
who really expressed concern enough that you would now take away a piece of equipment that you at one point, or the department at one point, deemed necessary, and now you're saying, well, okay, we're not going to go pursue that in the future?
Well, we very seldom in the past pursued that type of equipment anyway. We have the equipment. We're not abandoning any existing equipment that we already have or that we may have procured through that program. But what we did is take a look at that and see, do we have that necessity? And maybe if we have the necessity for that type of equipment, it is better to go through the public process and procure it like we would any other piece of equipment.
And does that mean it would cost us more?
Perhaps it would, yes.
The 1033 program, again, Dan, I'm not quite sure about this this program. Maybe I haven't kept up to date on it. Is this a controversial program or what?
Well, it has become controversial. I would say that. It wasn't in the past, because it was, as Dan points out, an easy way for us to get equipment that we need. Mm. For example, armored vehicles give them appearance of paramilitary nature, but they have an absolute function in public law enforcement to do rescues and high-risk operations. But some of that went too far, Dan. I think you'd admit that some of the equipment procured under that program for some departments probably went too far.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
And we probably needed to reel that in. And being responsive to the public dialogue is part of what a sheriff should do. And so we made the decision that we had the equipment that we need, and that we would not participate in the acquisition of paramilitary-like equipment through that program at this time.
The Stone Garden funding, is that being reconsidered?
I think that may be dead. I think we may be dead on the vine on Stone Garden, despite my very best efforts and banging my head against that wall now for 3 years. I just don't see any path forward. The federal government has, in my opinion, done everything that we asked them to do. They were going to cover indirect costs, which was really a sticking point in that. And we had done, from the Sheriff's Department standpoint, everything that was asked of us. And there's just no path forward that I can see through the Board of Supervisors. And as you know, unilaterally, the sheriff cannot accept Stone Garden funds on my own accord. It has to go through the board, and there are not the votes there to move forward with that.
And we should point out that the county did accept this for about a dozen years, year after year after year after year. Do you think the fact that you're a Republican sheriff and it's a Democratic board had anything to do with the fact that this is the year they decided it wasn't something they wanted?
You're probably not going to like this response, Dan, but no, I don't think it was me. I think it's the national dialogue around these things that really turned this. I mean, obviously, since 2017. The debate about border security and what constitutes border security and that whole dialogue has changed a great deal. So I don't think it was necessarily a vote against me as a Republican sheriff, but in a larger statement about the national dialogue with respect to border security and immigration issues.
I like what Chris Nanos did when he was sheriff. He actually took some of that money and gave it to Santa Cruz County because they had a need and a big need down there. So my question is, without this money now, what are we going to be missing?
Well, let me correct you. That the sheriff cannot redirect that money. That's a mistake. I'm not sure if he misspoke or he just doesn't understand how that money's reallocated. But when grant money is awarded to the sheriff, you cannot reallocate that. Only the federal government can. So that was a misstatement of fact. You cannot give money that the government had given to you to others. So what will happen is, and what happens during when you do not spend that money, it goes all the way back up channel, goes all the way back upstream, and then comes back down. And there's a thing called the IPT meeting, Integrated Planning Team, that then decide how that money's reallocated in that environment. So no, a sheriff cannot make a decision to give money to another county.
Okay, so what are we going to be doing without now that we will not be getting it going forward? What no longer will be there?
Well, we will not be able to deploy our personnel on overtime in those areas that are most subject to transnational crime threats, that being human trafficking and drug trafficking. But on the bright side, if you will, we do have a federal grant that's going to allow me to hire 10 additional deputies, a COPS grant, and we're going to create a new district, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be out at Robles Junction. We have a lieutenant, two sergeants, and 10 deputies that we'll staff out there. And here's the thing that's really important to me, Dan, is that we're going to cross-certify these deputies in search and rescue. We have all these rescues around the public spaces here around the metro area, you know, Sabino Canyon, Tanqueverty Falls. But when a migrant is lost in the desert, which is traditionally out in the Robles Junction area around Sasebo, Aravaca, along the Tonto Autumn, we don't have resources out there in the same way. So we'll be cross-certifying these deputies in search and rescue, and hopefully we'll save lives out there of migrants lost in the desert. I'm saddened every time I read that we've recovered another dead body out there. These are not National Geographic things. These are human beings. That's somebody's brother, somebody's mother, somebody's son. And we're recovering bones out there, and that's a human rights tragedy.
Sheriff Mark Napier is with us in our Buckmaster Show, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. How do the crime statistics look for our area right now, Sheriff?
We're looking good on part one, which would be the more dangerous type of crime, and part two crime. We're holding our own. It's a challenging environment. But we look good. Part one and part two crime are down from where they were in 2017, and we're able to hold that.
What's the part one?
Part one would be those violent crimes, you know, murder, rape, robbery, burglary, those type of crimes. And part two would be more in the property crime realm, you know, those lesser crimes. And we're doing both good on both accounts.
What about response time? I live in the county, and of course, being a county resident, I worry that if I need someone from the sheriff's department, I worry how quickly they could come to the house.
We're still doing very well on our response times. You know, staffing is continually a problem, and the national dialogue around law enforcement doesn't make it any easier to recruit young people. But we're actually, if you want to look at response times, part of our reform plan has a community accountability page. On that community accountability page is information about our response times. So a lot of the things that we used to say, well, you'd have to FOIA that or I'd have to do it by memory, are now predominantly placed on our website as part of our ACT reform plan that we've launched this month.
All right. When we continue, why would anyone want to go into law enforcement, Dan Scheer?
Great question.
That is, so many of the young people are saying, maybe I better not even think about this career, as everybody's talking about defunding police and issues like that. So you got to wonder, well, how do you recruit sheriff's deputies or police officers in this environment? It's the Buckmaster Show for a Friday. Sheriff Mark Napier is with us. He's our Friday Focus interview. Coming up on October 2nd, Sheriff Napier will face off with former Sheriff Chris Nanos. Dan Scheer is going to join me for that event. I almost said like the main event or something. But that's coming up on our Friday, October 2nd. But we'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier, and Sheriff Napier will be back with us on October the 2nd with Chris Nanos, the former Pima County Sheriff. So we'll have that rematch. And let's turn it over now to Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. What's on your mind, Dan?
Well, I live in a rural area, and so I wanted to pursue this question about Robles Junction, which says you have some grant-funded positions for out there, so you're going to be covering the rural area. Two questions for you. How did this get on your radar that those rural areas needed a little more coverage? And two, is this going to take away from areas such as Green Valley and Saharita, Amado, et cetera?
Well, first, it's been on my radar since I took office. It should have been on our radar at the Sheriff's Department for about 20 years before that. There has been this gap in service between Western, Metropolitan, Pima, or Tucson, the Tonawatam, and Ajo, because of the vast region out there. Ajo, Aravaca, and Sasabe have been underserved for a very long time. Well, COPS grant funding came out, and I said, why don't we make the case? Because COPS grants will only fund new deputies. So we made the case that we would upfit the Robles Junction Three Points district with 10 new bodies. And then I went to the county administrator and said, I need an additional lieutenant and two sergeants. So we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, which I think is your concern there.
Correct.
But what we're doing is filling a really a void in the way that we provided service out there that really should have been on somebody's radar for a long, long time. And what's ironic is we had a facility out there. I mean, we didn't have to build a district station. We have a facility out there that wasn't being used at all. And so we need to still purchase some vehicles. We'll be hiring those 10 deputies in October through a special hiring process that we're going to launch to try to get laterals so that we can get people that already have experience there quicker to train and get out there and operational. But it has definitely been a need for a long time.
You had a follow-up question, Dan?
I want to move on to law enforcement reform. And you had put something out last month on this, and you said in that document that there is no systematic racism in the Pima County Sheriff's Department. How do you define systematic racism, and how do you know it doesn't exist there?
Well, systematic, I think the word is really systemic. Systemic would mean it permeates something, and I see no evidence in any of the things that are available to me, personal witness, in other words, seeing what I see every day, looking at our the way that we police the community, complaints that we see. I don't see any evidence that there is systemic racism within the Pima County Sheriff's Department. I don't see evidence to support that accusation. And in the broader construct, I don't see that evidence of that in the law enforcement community nationally. Are there pockets of problematic people and problematic events? Of course there are. But that doesn't mean that it's systemic. And I think that that's misplaced. I mean, I've been in this line of work for 3 decades. I have not led a sheltered life, and I don't see evidence that it's systemic in our profession. Do we have bad apples? Absolutely we do, just like any profession, whether you're lawyers, doctors, accountants. We have bad actors, and we try to weed those people out and try to weed them out in the hiring process and then subsequently. But I don't see that there's systemic problems at the Sheriff's Department.
What about the Sheriff's Department as far as COVID-19? Do you have any cases?
We have done, and I got to give a shout out to my corrections folks. We have done a fantastic job of keeping it out of the general population of the jail. That is the real threat to sheriffs. And of course, there's problems up in Maricopa. Sheriff Benzone has had a significant outbreak in general population of his jail. And then Director Shen at Arizona Department of Corrections is really facing a very serious problem. But as you know, I brought on Dr. Carmona very early on in March. And he's a public health expert, former attorney, surgeon general, and said, Doc, tell me what we need to be doing. Go over to the jail and tell me from a public health perspective, what can we do to keep this from getting in the general population? He gave us some tips, and we're still doing those things. And in March, I went to the broader law enforcement community and said, look, we need to reduce jail population. We got to get serious about this. We've been talking about it for a long time, but we've got to get serious about this. And we went from about 1,900 prisoners to something less than 1,500 today, which opens up huge areas of the jail to better isolate and quarantine people when they first come in so that you're sure they don't bring the infection into the jail.
Post George Floyd, I'm assuming that you've had a lot of interaction with state and national leaders now that we've had a couple of months since this happened regarding law enforcement reform. What's happening on the national state level?
The national level is a mess, to be honest with you. There's competing interest in both on the Republican side and the Democrat side. In my opinion, they're not consulting with the experts as much as they should. There are a lot of things being bantered around in Washington, D.C. As you know, I serve as a vice president of the Major County Sheriffs of America. So in that capacity, I do have a louder voice than I might otherwise as the sheriff of Pima County. And we're trying to guide some of these. There's some good things being talked about. Make no mistake about that. Looking at our use of force policies, how we report use of force, other practices. There's some really good things to be discussed up there. But, you know, the elimination of qualified immunity is an absolute game changer. It would be devastating to law enforcement. We would not be able to hire anybody should that go through. And then some of the other things about, and we should all take pause on this, I don't care whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or whoever, about nationalizing or steps toward nationalization of police. There's a reason we have localized control over law enforcement and have for a long time. But there's a movement afoot to nationalize standards, to nationalize accreditation of law enforcement agencies. And we say, well, there's just some good things in there, Sheriff. You shouldn't be afraid of that. Well, once the federal government gets a hold of something, it never contracts. it always continues to expand, and that expansion should worry all of us. If you're a Democrat person, I would say, would you be comfortable if in three administrations the president makes Donald Trump look like a left-wing liberal? Are you still comfortable with Washington, D.C. setting national policy for local law enforcement? I would say probably not. So once that door is opened, it's opened, and I think that's very concerning.
When your people are vetting your senior staff, vetting new people who want to be in the sheriff's department, and they ask them, why do you want to be a deputy, these young people, what are they telling your people?
Well, generally, they've studied oral boards enough to know I want to serve my community and, sure. And those things, which we hope to be true.
And there's an economic incentive, obviously.
Yeah, there is. Okay. I mean, you're never going to get rich in this line of work.
No.
I know Marlene's listening. She's going, yeah, I know, honey. we're never going to get rich in this line of work, but it's been very good to me. It's put a roof over my head and food in my family's stomach for a long, long, long time. So I think there's people still that genuinely want to serve their community. I'm at a point in my life where that's all that motivates me, is the idea that I'm coming. I know I'm in the twilight of my career life, and I'd like to continue to serve for a while longer, and then I'm going to retire. And that becomes so increasingly important to me at this point in my career life. It isn't about anything else, not the glamour of being sheriff, most certainly, or any of those other things. But one of the things that we're doing to try to bring these young people in is I'm really excited about this. We have partnered with JTED program, especially at Sunnyside High School, to go down and talk to freshmen and sophomores in high school and say, hey, do you have a life path? Well, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me tell you, I've got something for you. If you go through these electives during your high school career and you graduate from high school and you've kept your nose clean, I, as the sheriff of this county, is going to make it incredibly easy for you to become a corrections officer. So we're going to eliminate all those obstacles that we can to give you a life path into corrections. And you will be making $21.50 an hour with full benefits. Well, a lot of these young people, especially in these inner city high schools, are saying, my goodness, my dad doesn't make $21.50 an hour.
Right.
Well, we've got a path for you. When you turn 18, we're going to put you in a position where you can do that. Give me 3 good years as a corrections officer, 3 good years of honorable service, and we're going to duplicate that thing to make you a deputy sheriff making $25.50 an hour. So what we're doing, I feel good as a Christian and as a father and giving kids a life path, but also our ability to go down into those inner city areas and recruit people of color, people from disadvantaged socioeconomic backgrounds that might otherwise see this as a very unattractive career field because of the national discourse around law enforcement. We're also partnering with San Miguel High School to do internships. In fact, one of the students is working in our lobby today. That's something I brought over from the University of Arizona because we had San Miguel students doing internships when I was at the U of A. So you've got to go down. You can't do what you've always done. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. Well, you're not recruiting baby boomers anymore, okay? That's a very different person than a millennial and certainly a different environment than when I became a cop in 1981. So you can't keep doing the same recruiting efforts that you've always been doing. It won't be successful.
Dan Scheer, a lot of the young people, though, probably see the police as the enemy.
I am hearing that more and more, but I think that when they know one, when they talk with one, when they understand the intricacies of the job, that their heads are turned. And again, it's the national narrative. That's a really good term. It's what everyone's talking about. But really, I just encourage people to dig deeper and figure it out.
Well, and that's this process we're doing with the JTED program allows exactly that, Dan, is to experience, because we're actually going to put our staff in the schools to teach. And of course, we're still keeping our SRO program. We've integrated therapy dogs into our SRO program and use every opportunity possible to get that positive interaction. We just did badges and backpacks, gave away 2,000 backpacks with school supplies over a 4 weekend events. Again, trying to get out in the community and let them see us in a different light. And that will hopefully help. But it is hard when you're looking at a person, you're trying to recruit people of color, and the narrative is that we are systemically racist. Well, does that seem like a welcoming home for a person of color? Well, no, it doesn't. So we've got to go down to the high school level, maybe even the middle schools, and start drawing these people in, knowing that doesn't bear fruit today, but it will 3 to 5 years down the road.
All right. Sheriff Mark Napier will be with former Sheriff Chris Nanos. Had a quick question from Facebook. Carolyn asks, could you ask Sheriff Napier what he will do differently in this 2020 rematch with Chris Nanos.
From a campaign standpoint, I assume that's what she means.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely not a thing. My primary job is to be a good sheriff for this county. You elected me for 4 years, not 3.5. So my campaign is going to be to continue to be a good sheriff for this county. All of our advertising will be around the positive things, why you should vote for me, and why I deserve another term.
All right, and we will have the sheriff and the former sheriff, Chris Nanos, together here in studio on the Buckmaster Show on Friday, October the 2nd. Dan Scheer will join me in the questioning, and we'll pretty much take the whole hour for that event. Sheriff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And all the best to you. Dan Scheer will stick around, and we'll have more on the Buckmaster Show as we take a break in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And also, we want to thank our friends at Rincon Ventures, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Our Friday focus interview today was with Sheriff Mark Napier, who is in a re-election effort right now, and a rematch going on between Mark Napier and Chris Nanos, and we'll have them both with me in studio. Dan Scheer is going to be with me in studio as well, and he's here right now. Dan, this news about Steve Bannon. As I recall, didn't that whole effort to have this privately funded wall, wasn't the kickoff event in Green Valley?
Pretty much the public kickoff event was in Green Valley. The effort started in December with a man named Colfedge, who was a veteran. He is a triple amputee, and he just put it out there through social media and almost immediately brought in millions of dollars. And then a month later, Steve Bannon and all these others are involved in their first real kickoff, really, to in this We Build the Wall campaign, was in Sahuarita. And I think it just kind of grew and larger than anybody thought it would. And they didn't quite know exactly what they were doing. But one thing they always said was that we're not taking any money out of this personally, that no salary, nothing like that. And that was over and over again. And if you want to see the entire presentation in Sahuarita, it's on YouTube, very easy to find. I was there that day. I interviewed Steve Bannon. And I will tell you this, that there was one person who told me, oh, yeah, we already have four people who've committed $1 million each to this. I talked to Bannon, and he said, I have no idea what they're talking about. The average donation is about $90. Now, by this point, Bill, he had only publicly been involved with this thing for about a week. Hmm. And so this was all just getting rolling. And I think a lot of people now in retrospect were saying, wow, there's going to be a lot of money here.
Yeah.
And so, but immediately there were questions that were arising around Colfedge and certain things. And so they had to kind of legitimize it. And I think by bringing in some pretty big names, Curt Schilling, the baseball player, was supposed to be there that day, ended up canceling at the last minute. But there were some big people there, former members of Congress, people whose children had been victims of crimes by illegal immigrants. They kind of trotted out everybody. And now we see what happens. And I will tell you this, from talking to a lot of people in our community about this, no one's really surprised. And so we'll see how this plays out. They have been accused of defrauding the donors, and I think about $25 million is involved. But yeah, it all started here. And again, I don't think too many people are really surprised that this thing kind of went sideways.
It is so serious, the charges, which could carry up to 20 years in prison. And you would think that they would be extremely careful with have CPAs and auditors looking at every dime, because it's not that hard to follow where the money is in a case like this. You want to see the whole donor list, right?
And you would also understand that the opposition is going to be following this very, very closely, which they have been. But again, the first event in Green Valley was supposed to be just a few people meeting for dinner, like, you know, 25, and then it got to 50. And then they ended up renting the ballroom at Quail Creek and had almost 300 people there. And again, this is just in a period of about 48 hours. And so it just blew up. And so there are a lot of angry people in Quail Creek who said, we don't want these people here. And others are saying, we love them. We love the effort to build the wall.
And what was the time frame? What was the chronology? When was that?
This was in February of 19, so a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago, and now all of this happening. On the ballot, there will be two, at least two, very high profile items on the Arizona ballot. The Supreme Court has said now yes to the recreational marijuana. That's huge. And yes to the kind of an offshoot of Red for Ed.
Yeah, it's how to fund education.
Yes.
And you go after the richest people, and I believe, I don't know, is it over $250,000? They're going to be taxed at a little higher rate than others, or there's going to be an additional tax on it, I should say. And so read the wording. It's very interesting. There were some questions about whether it was going to be on the ballot and end up being there. I think this is going to be very interesting to see because, of course, on a national level, we've had that same discussion, is should the rich be paying more to to help with things like education and other issues in the country. And so I think it'd be a very, very interesting question. And this is so new that we really haven't been able to gauge yet the support or dissension in our area.
And with the marijuana thing, who knows?
Well, you know, I always said that the 60s hippies have retired and moved to Green Valley. And so the opposition that we once may have had for something like this, maybe it doesn't exist as much. And so I'm curious about that too. Medical marijuana, of course, did not pass the resounding victory. In fact, it was extraordinarily thin in Arizona. But I knew this was going to come along at some point. And now we've had a chance to see how other states have handled recreational drugs and if that's good or bad. And we'll see going forward. I will tell you this. The people who want this to get passed in our state have an awful lot of money, so we're going to be hearing a lot in the next couple of months.
And I just had a news release, this is from Senator Vince Leach, that the so-called surprise billing initiative will not be on the November ballot. This initiative fell short of signatures, and the court ruled the initiative summary was misleading. I'm not really quite sure what that initiative was about our healthcare system.
We have a lot of surprise billing. You go to a hospital and you expect to get a bill.
Right.
And it turns out that you might have a hospitalist who bills you. You might have the emergency room, the hospital itself. You could get, you know, three bills and they could come in lots of different times. And then you're not told that, you know, Medicare will cover this one, but not that one. And there's your surprise is that, wait a minute, they didn't tell me going in that this wasn't all covered. I thought it was a hospital that accepted Medicare payments and suddenly I'm getting billed separately by somebody else at the hospital. And so that's too bad that that's not on there. But I will tell you this, a huge issue, particularly in our area.
I bet it is. Senator Leach contended it would greatly increase health costs, health care costs to Arizonans, and it would have been very confusing. So well, there you go.
Well, people just want to know where they're spending their money and what they're going to owe at the end of the day. And again, lots of surprises. I've had people sitting across my desk with their bill in hand crying over this.
Now, 2 weeks from today, I will not be here. We're going to try to get away, carve out a little summer vacation. And you've put together really I think an outstanding hour, and I want to go ahead and promote it because sure. Your business has been the focus of so much attention. What's the future of print? Is there a future? The publisher of the New York Times said recently, he said within, what was it, 5 or 10 years, there will not even be a print edition. So you're going to really take a deep dive into this.
Right. And we'll have Jill Jordan Spitz from the Arizona Daily Star and Jim Nintzel. And then Dylan Smith are going to join us during the 50 minutes that we're going to be talking about this. And just what have we done to make sure that the reporting ranks have remained strong? There are foundations out there. There are grants. There are programs. We're all taking advantage of them and looking at them and saying, okay, how can we do this and maintain, you know, certainly our integrity and our standards and give people news. There are lots of places that people get what they think is news.
But a lot of it's on social media.
And a lot of it's wrong. And it's just garbage. This is why we, as I mentioned earlier, started Neighbor, our own social media site, that it's moderated by journalists. When someone has a question, we actually can go in and give an answer. And so that's the whole point of it. And so anybody can go in there, take a look, it's free. And so what we want to continue to do is what we've always done, and that is put accurate information out there, hold people's feet to the fire, ask the tough questions, inform the community accurately and timely. And it has become more difficult to do over the years. That's no secret.
And you'll have Dylan representing kind of the online community, Nintzel for a weekly publication, and then Jill from the Star of a daily publication, and then you with a group of publications that really are focused on local news.
Absolutely. And those are the ones that are tending to do better as far as finances go. It's the Daily Metros that are really struggling, but there are lots of different facets to this, and we have the people who know, and so I'm looking forward to getting together with them.
Do your local newspapers in WIC, are you really focusing on like local sports? And I venture to say that probably obituaries are still a really big item in local newspapers.
Well, that's why a lot of people just read the paper.
Yeah.
And obituaries years ago became a paid thing. So, you know, that's not under the advertising department. But people look for it for the simple things. But high school sports, depending on the area, is huge. But also what your council doing, not just what they're doing, but how is it really going to affect me? And just knowing what's going on in that local community, because as the metros contract, those communities are completely uncovered. And so this makes what we do a little bit more important.
How about hiring talent? Do young people, I know in the broadcasting business, young people want to go right to the network. They don't want to, I mean, back in the day, back in the dinosaur age, when I started out, no one would even dream of saying, oh, my first job's going to be at a network.
Absolutely.
My first job was basically down in Sierra Vista at the little radio station down there where I did really worked 12 to 18 hour days doing morning news on the radio at lunchtime in the evening. And then I went over to the cable TV station in Sierra Vista at 6:30 to do a half hour TV show on cable. And there are still people, believe it or not, who remember Bill Buckmaster from my days at KHFH. I think it's now called KTAN in Sierra Vista, but they remember me. And some of them still remember seeing me on cable channel 7 in Sierra Vista, and that was 1972.
You know what? The best thing you can do in this industry, if you want to break into it, is, you know, number one, get the education, then find a real rock solid experienced editor, and don't worry about where you're going to live or how much you're going to make. But for those first couple of years, just pour everything into it, and then the clips you get, as we call them, will get you that next job, and then you'll be on the way to bigger stuff. But you learn stuff on the very, very local level that you will never in your career have an opportunity to learn again. So find a good paper and get involved. Don't worry about the money.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Dan, what's coming up in the paper? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, we looked into a little bit of how the L Tour just canceled.
Yeah, was going to be a Green Valley component.
Yep, first time ever it was going to come through Green Valley and Sahuarita, so that has been put off until April. And we're also looking at a couple of weather stories because it's been a brutal summer, and it's going to be a brutal year. So a couple of those things. And I also have recently did an interview with a guy who was a rabid Democrat who has done a 180 in the last few years and now is a rabid Republican. And we're going to look at his journey, and then we're going to find someone on the other side and their journey also. It's kind of interesting to see how people land where they do politically.
And now you're going to make me really jealous. I bet you had rain last night.
We did. I wasn't going to mention it.
I know. Everybody had it except the Buckmaster House. So maybe we've got a couple more shots at it as the remnants, as the hurricane goes now out to the northwest in off of Baja. Maybe there's a chance we'll get some kind of some storms fired up. Dan Scheer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dan Gibson filling in for the vacationing Matt Russell coming up with Weekend Watch.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
All right, I am ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you are ready when New Mexico is ready for you. And once again, open to out-of-state visitors. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, your place to find out where to stay and what to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Dan Gibson, who is hosting Weekend Watch for the vacationing Matt Russell. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, how are you, sir?
I'm so jealous of Matt's lifestyle. I need to get on this, like, taking vacations. My business is making sure other people have great vacations. Matt it just takes vacations. It's fine.
What's going on this weekend? Is there anything to do in town this weekend?
What isn't there to do, Bill? Habitation Realty, they do a great job in town, a lot of historic homes, a lot of cool stuff. They've been doing virtual speakeasies on Facebook Live every Friday. They have one this Friday, the 21st, at 7 p.m. On Facebook. Just go to their Facebook. They have music by the band Moontracks, who are very good. They're having prizes and giveaways. They also have Allie Barron, who's one of the bartenders at St. Charles Tavern. She's going to be making some drinks in between. You do not get to taste those drinks, but she'll help you make them at home. You can have a heck of a time on the internet, you know, nice and safe. It's a COVID edition of their speakeasy. Cider House that's opening on 4th Avenue, just over there by Antigone Books. Their sort of soft opening is this weekend. They were doing sodas last week. This week they're ciders are available. They're alcoholic ciders. They have a unfiltered apple with a Scottish ale yeast, ones with hibiscus flowers, one apple cider with tomato and whole organic basil.
Wow. Apparently
it's like a little bit of Italy in your mouth. They're opening up this Friday, or today. You can go check it out on 4th Avenue. Check out their Instagram. All the information's there. It's Bocker Bocker Cider.
It sounds like the taste of Italy will explode in your mouth.
Yes, effervescent, you might say. Like, it'll be bubbling over with joy.
All right.
Right there on 4th Avenue.
I could take another one or two quick ones.
Okay. So I checked out the new hotel, the Tucson, today. It's part of Marriott's design collection. It's right off the freeway between 22nd and Broadway. Brand-new fixed-up thing. They opened up in June, sort of still working the, you know, getting everything together. COVID sort of threw this new hotel for a loop. But it's part of Marriott's exclusive design collection. They have a really spectacular bar and restaurant in there as well. A lot of, like, light bites and things like that. Very safe, thought through. Great pool. They're offering resort passes starting this today, actually. So you can go check it out. Even if you're not staying at the hotel, you can book a time by the pool. You basically get the pool to yourself. You can get some drinks. Their cocktail menu, Fleetwood Mac themed.
Wow.
So you could try the gold. Yeah. The Tango in the Night, the Edge of 17, the Gold Dust Woman, the I Know I'm Not Wrong, quite a few of those feature Whiskey Del Bach, some with tequila, you know, solid menu, including two of which are slushes. So if you're looking for a frozen treat in this summer heat that also, you know, takes you to a certain place, why not the Tucson? Go check it out.
All right. Before we go, you're probably going to make me very jealous as well. Tell me you didn't get any rain at your home last night.
I can tell you that. It's a news program, and I don't want to lie. No, totally rained at our
house. All right. Dan Gibson, you are a very fortunate man in many regards. Say hello to your family. Thanks, Dan.
Will do. Always a pleasure.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music by Christophon. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, and John Couch, engineering and producing the show. On behalf of the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.